everybody, and welcome to a special edition of 8-Bit Bits. My name is Jeremy.
Oh, am I supposed to say my name now?
Yep.
Oh, shit. I'm Doug.
Doug.
And I'm the Nerf Herder named Kevin.
This is a special edition brought to you by the 8-Bit Geek. You can always listen to us every Tuesday on iTunes and all that good stuff. Today we are talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens. We will set this up by saying this is going to contain a ton of spoilers. If you do not want to be spoiled by anything, then turn this off. But we're going to talk about everything from the big moments in the movie to, I mean, we're gonna blow your fucking minds. That's what we're gonna do.
Hopefully you've at least seen the movie.
And if you haven't, well, enjoy this, I guess. I mean, So by now, the movie has raked in over 50 million, approaching 60 million on Thursday alone. While we're recording this, it is a Friday evening, so this weekend it is set to blow every fucking record up and out. And so all of us went to go see it last night. And
this morning.
Well, and one of us went to go see it this morning because he couldn't get tickets.
Technically last night, though, right?
I mean, it was still technically
late into the night. I was like a streetwalker in Kansas City.
Yeah,
just it was looking like, for the fix.
What?
We're talking about. It was
that's
like
not cool.
No.
It was like 1 a.m. I guess when Kev went. Good old 1 in the morning.
We got our tickets pretty early, about a month ago, and then Kevin was just like scalping on the streets.
No. I got my tickets just in time. I scalp for my own personal pleasure.
I thought the setup in my mind is just like you going, oh, anyone have some tickets, please?
See, in my mind, that's funny that that's your how you picture him almost as like Oliver Twist. Mm-hmm. Just like, please, Sam, may I have some more? Where in my mind, it was more like that fucking, what's it, character from, I think his name's like Terrence or some shit from the Chappelle Show. It was like, suck your dick for a ticket.
Terrence.
Maybe it's somewhere.
What was
maybe
his name? What was that dude?
Oh,
what was
you're thinking Tyrone.
Tyrone.
Tyrone. Yeah, just
Tyrone Biggins.
Yeah. Suck your diffo down.
I'm here for the free crack giveaway.
Okay, so let's dive right into it here. The build up the film before we went to go in to go see it. I want to know what everyone was thinking the day of, and as you were going to sit down in your seat. What was the feeling like in the theater? What was it in your mind? And of course, with the people that were surrounding you. And we'll start with Doug, since you went to the first showing out of all three of us.
Yours was pumped earliest. All day long. I was really, 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 really excited. Like butterflies in my stomach. I was talking to some of my friends they went and got in line early in the morning. Just talking with them, I was just like, I'm super excited. Like, and I was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was just like, I'm not like, I'm nervous, right? Because this is new.
Mm-hmm.
In like every way. Like, we don't, it's a new director. To the series, which I mean, two of the best Star Wars movies weren't directed by George Lucas, right? And new writers, and you know, no Lucas at all, Disney behind it. I don't know what the fuck they're gonna do with it. It's 10 years after the last movie. I don't fucking know. It takes place like 40 years after that movie, maybe more than that. It's maybe even 50, because it's like 30 years since the last movie. So I was super pumped.
There's a lot of
math
going on here.
Yeah, I was super, like I said, super excited and also a little scared.
Awesome.
And going into the theater again, when I got there, they were already seated. We were like in pretty close to the middle, mm-hmm, at the IMAX, so it was pretty awesome.
I went with family, and I took my 8-year-old son. And my experience was a little bit different because I posted on Facebook, you know, my age kind of faded away, and I became an 8-year-old kid with him. And we had to go to the bathroom. I almost showed up late because of traffic. My showing was at 7:15, and I walked into the theater at like 7:08.
Mm. Yeah.
And so
you had that reserved seats, though, yeah.
Thankfully, we had reserved seating, so, you know, our seats were there waiting for us. And so we walk out of the bathroom and we're literally jumping in the air and slapping hands out of excitement. We didn't care who was like watching and stuff. You know, we were watching. I mean, we were pumped. We got into our seats and then we're like giggling and stuff like that. The whole theater was really pumped up, and I went to kind of a uppity theater, and generally they don't get too excited about stuff. Everyone's real quiet and respectful and everything, but everybody was still like, "Woo!" And you know, as soon as the logo popped up, it was like, "Wah!" And everybody screamed and yelled, and it was great. So, Kevin,
my experience is a little different. It was kind of funny though. So as soon as I got home from work, basically me and the wife went to sleep because our showing was at 1:30 in the morning. We did this on purpose because we wanted to avoid a lot of the younger audience. No offense, Jeremy, to your child. He's, you know, as long as he's well behaved, but you know, people spoil shit. So we went at like 1:30. We got to the Alamo Draft House because they were selling pint glasses to go with the movie, which is really cool pint glasses. I showed it a little earlier. We got our seats. Everything is cool. And the thing I love about Alamo Draft House too, they actually show like they were showing commercials from the old Star Wars in the 80s and like the action figures, and they were doing all these like Star Wars skits and all that. So it was really fun to keep you entertained beforehand. Then this asshole next to us fucking okay, if you've ever been to the Alamo Draft House, it's a full on they feed you there too. Like mm-hmm. It's kind of like there's a table in front of you, but it's like a long bar and you order food and everything and you eat off that bar. So this asshole chick, she fucking kicks off her shoes, puts her feet up on top of it and just lets it all hang out. And we're like, this motherfucker. So we were like, I don't think that's going to last very long. Management came over and fucking bitched her out. It was great. They were like, people put food on there.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So fuck that chick. So the movie, I mean, just like being there the whole time, I was like, holy shit, I'm 34 years old and I'm going to see Star Wars for the first time.
Yeah.
While I was watching the movie, holy shit, I'm 34 years old and I'm watching Star Wars for the first time. After the movie, holy shit, I saw Star Wars for the first time. You know, it was an amazing experience. Oh, by the way, and that chick fell asleep halfway through the film. She started snoring.
That's funny.
Fuck that chick. And I kind of had the opposite reaction to the – I mean, there was a lot of fans there. A lot of people dressed up. A lot of people really into it, bringing their lightsabers in and stuff. But they wanted to be so quiet for it. Like even when the LucasArts logo popped up, you heard one dude like, yeah! It just gets super awkward. It was fucking great. So, I mean, overall, the audience was into it, though. Throughout the movie, you know, when there was times to be excited, people were excited. So it was really cool. But it was – that woman almost ruined lives. Yeah.
Before we jump into our initial reactions, I wanted to ask you guys one thing. I think my sound was off in my theater. I thought that maybe my deep bass was off behind the screen. So do you remember in the beginning of the film, there's an invasion of sorts and uh-huh. an attack.
Hey, we're spoiling stuff. You can talk about it.
No, I know. But before we get into all that, I mean, I'm just asking, like, when there was explosions and stuff, was there any deep bass for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there was. So something was wrong with the sound then in my theater.
I don't know if it was just an Alamo Draft House thing, but the seats were pretty much rumbling with the bass.
Yeah.
Like, any kind of bass that was happening, like, you were feeling it. It was awesome.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm going to see it in a Dolby Atmos theater on Sunday, so I'm definitely nice. Going to get the full experience from that. I feel gypped now. But anyways, okay, so walking out of the theater, before we get into all the scenes and talking about all the moments and stuff, I want to know, okay, so we know how you went in. How did you come out? How was when your first feelings, your first overall reactions of the film? Go.
When I walked out, I was speechless, more or less. Just kind of like, yeah, because it's that excitement of having just seen a movie, you know, an awesome movie. I mean, I kind of feel this way a little bit. I'm seeing like a lot of huge blockbusters where you're just kind of like processing everything mm-hmm. you saw. But mm-hmm. I felt like I had to super process everything I just saw for this one.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about this probably more as the show goes on. But I've spent so much time in the expanded universe of Star Wars that like this just kind of was like, fuck you. So there's like parts of it where I'm like, did they say that? was that a thing that happened? And
yeah,
was that planet? Like, what? You know, I'm having to go through all this stuff and like kind of replay the movie again and just like, oh my god! Like, I was super excited. I loved every moment of it. It was fucking awesome. But yeah, there was just that like kind of just like, oh my god, holy shit!
Yeah,
that was great. But holy shit!
What about you, Kev?
I was, as soon as the movie ended, I was choked up. Like, I was like, I like this movie. Like, the whole movie, my eyes were like fucking welted. Like, I didn't cry or anything, but it was like on the verge. I was like, if someone fucking drops a pin needle or something like that, I'm fucking done.
You know who cries the whole movie? This guy. Every fucking chance I got. Man, and we're gonna talk about all this, I know, but there's they really, really want that nostalgia factor in the movie. Like, they want you to feel the feels for all this like stuff, and they make jokes at things that happened in the original trilogy and all this stuff, and it was great. And man, I was a sucker. I was a goddamn sucker. Like, that movie was fucking written for me. They're like, you know what, we're gonna make Doug cry. That motherfucker, yeah. He's gonna cry like a bitch. He was at Celebration, he cried like a bitch at the fucking first trailer. He's gonna fucking start crying the second Lucasfilm part starts up on the screen. The second that shows up and that first note hits when the text crawl starts, bawling. God damn it. Yeah. Like I had tears of joy. Just tears and tears. And then when some stuff happened later, just fucking I wasn't sobbing like but I was like
it was hard to take in, just the whole movie. Even though, like I said, even scenes where it had nothing to even really get you emotional. It was just, once again, seeing characters you grew up with 32 years later reprising their roles and just finding out what the hell happened to them and everything. It's such an impact, man. It's one of those things. It's going to happen the first time. It may happen the second or third time. But, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I had just a smile on my face throughout the entire film. Ashley kept looking over. At one point, she hits me in the arm and like, "What? Why are you smiling?" I'm like, "How am I not?" Like,
yeah, no shit. How are you not smiling, you witch?
And so, and then like during certain moments, you know, tears are starting to you know, drip down the face. I mean, it's one of the most precious movie experiences I've ever had in my life, and one that I will never ever forget. I think that. Walking out of it, I'm with Doug. I was really speechless. Ashley's like, "What'd you think?" I'm like, I don't know. I can't talk about it right now, you know. And it took a minute for me to actually gather my thoughts of what just happened. And so I think it was just a great experience. But you know, moving on to the next point, you know, one of the first things I kind of wanted to talk about was. This movie ran over 2 hours long, but I felt like I was only there for 30 minutes. And when I got to the end of the film, I was like, this happened way too fucking fast. Why am I already about to leave this theater? Like, I was like, this can't be 2 hours. I feel like I have not been here. So did you guys have the same experience? Like, what'd you think of the pacing? Was it just
the pacing in this movie was on goddamn point, man. It was so good. And to the degree of even how they shot the movie and how beautifully, like just how beautifully it was done. And like just for example, there's a shot on some fucking random ass planet. I don't even know if they ever said the name of it. And like the TIE fighters, they roll in and they're shooting up shit. And like you literally, and then like then the X-Wings show up. And you, if you've seen the trailer, you may recognize know what I'm talking about. And like you've watched this TIE fighter like get gunned down by an X-wing, and it crashes to the ground. But then you're on the ground, and you see that crash, and then you're immediately following some stormtroopers, and then you watch see them get blasted like in like amazing. By the way, the new blaster shit going on in this movie was intense, and like see them get blasted or whatever, and you see that it's Han Solo, and he's holding fucking Chewbacca's bowcaster. Which is sick, and then they have a scene, and then Finn shows up, and they do stuff with Finn, and then Finn runs off, and it's just like it was just a constant. This led to this, 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 constantly smooth as fuck, right? Smooth as goddamn butter. It was amazing. It was great. And online today, you know, people have been ranking their movies in order and stuff. And I had a friend that ranked this one below is his number two. He went Empire Strikes Back. This one. And then A New Hope. And someone was like, how can you put this above A New Hope? Like, A New Hope is what boosted this. And I was like, I agree with him because of the pacing. I love A New Hope. It is a great movie. It is what started this whole goddamn galaxy. But that movie drags a lot.
Oh yeah, we just
when you put what they do in that movie, when you talk about what happens in that, it that is a 45 minute movie, and it took two and almost a half hours long to tell.
That's very true. I definitely agree. We just watched A New Hope, and I was just like, man, there's a long time watching fucking C-3PO and R2-D2 walk through the goddamn desert. I mean, we could probably probably chop 30 seconds off of this.
Yeah, there's and so the pacing of this movie was just fun. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was great. Yeah. It was so well done. Again, and like you said, by the time you're done, you're like, I just started this. Like, but that was 2.5 hours? Fuck me.
Kev, what did you think about the new characters and the introduction of Poe and, of course, the new Kylo Ren and
oh man, I mean, great casting. When I first heard about the casting, especially Kylo Ren, I was like, the fucking dude from Girls. I was like, that dude is, I don't know if it's gonna work out, and he is a weird looking dude. Although they made him look a little less weird in this universe,
isn't so that props weird? To like, them on that, because he is a very bizarre looking guy. But then when he, spoilers, because this is what we're doing, he takes off his helmet, and I was like, Adam Driver? Like yeah. That doesn't look like was? You.
They made him cover his fucking ears. His ears come out to like very far.
Oh yeah. You know what? I even noticed that. I was like, this motherfucker has got some goddamn like 80s like hair metal hair.
He hears us now.
He hears us now.
He's got Yoda like ears. He was originally cast as the new Yoda. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's what it is.
Yeah. the cast selection was amazing. Everyone who like had a major role in this movie did a fantastic job. They were very believable. They did their part and they did it well. And like I said, they set it up for such a great trilogy that's about to happen.
I can't. I can't believe. You brought up Finn for a second. Like, I can't help but think when I was watching, I was like, he is the new Han Solo. Like, that's what his role is going to be. At least that's the way I felt when I was watching it, because he's the witty one and he's got all the comebacks. I mean, come on, when he's like, droid, please.
Yeah.
He says that in the film.
Yeah. Finn was great. I agree. Oh my God. Everybody was great.
Everybody.
It was insane. Yeah.
It was
Daisy their own Ridley.
Movie, Daisy Ridley is going to be a huge fucking star. Like, she's the next it girl in Hollywood, guaranteed. And she, wow, what a performance she put together. And spoilers, she's going to be a badass Jedi.
Oh yes.
Holy shit. And I think she might be more powerful than her father that we think that she is, even though it's not revealed.
I don't think that's her dad.
You don't think it is?
Nope.
No.
I hope so. I
think it is. I think it's going to end up being him.
Nope.
So you don't think you don't think he took his lightsaber out and and pushed the Force into a woman?
I couldn't picture it because they never gave him a love interest in the original trilogy. And it's like, where the fuck they would have to build this whole story around someone he met and then had a kid with and then got rid of
So that's another thing, is that there's rumors right now that she is also, or could be, and there's an original rumor that I think was going around when they first announced that she's being cast, or like that Rey, a female character, was going to be a main character. They're like, oh shit, is she going to be Obi-Wan's daughter? Because again, at the time, like, we were still thinking like, well, maybe they're going to do expanded universe stuff, her name is like Rey, like maybe it's not blah 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 blah. So they're thinking that maybe Obi-Wan's the granddaughter. But my problem is that, like, in and that's not the expanded universe anymore, because technically it is canon because it's a TV show. Mm-hmm. In the Clone Wars, like, that he does not break rules. I mean, he loves Sabine or whatever her name was, the Mandalorian governor or whatever the fuck she was. But like, they're both like, we can't do this. Like, like you can't because you're a Jedi and I can't because. Like, I don't know. She's a politician.
I got no lady parts. Oh.
I'm a politician or whatever. And I don't know. I can't see Obi-Wan breaking his Jedi oath to not, you know, to, I guess, remain celibate or whatever it is the fuck they're supposed to do. I don't really know. That's how I feel about Luke also, to a degree, even though I totally love the Mara Jade storyline in the expanded universe. I don't know. Nick and I have been talking about it like today and stuff. So I don't know. I would think I'd be disappointed if it was Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan is supposed to be busy during the years in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, watching over goddamn Luke Skywalker, not raising the goddamn family.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to see it, of course, in the coming movies. But anybody else? Was there any? Okay, so oh my god. Okay, so the story itself pretty much emulates A New Hope, right? I mean, it's A New Hope's architect in a new and told in a new way, which is totally fine. It fucking works. Like, it works wonderfully.
The parallels between A New Hope and even bits and pieces of like Empire in this movie, the parallels between the two were phenomenal.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But the characters themselves, like, I mean, we're seeing them in the pretty much the middle stages of their lives, and we don't need to see all the beginning stages of what's happening. We're going to get the reveals later on, but was there any characters that kind of stuck out that are your favorites, other than, of course, the two main ones that is there anybody who's just like, oh fuck, like, I fell in love with BB-8.
Oh my god. Yeah. Great. It was an amazing draw. I wish he had been in the movie more.
That fucking, the thumbs up.
The thumbs up thing killed me. It slayed me. Slayed me.
Oh my god.
And for those, I guess if you're listening to this, you don't give a shit about spoilers. There's a scene where John Boyega is pretending to be, or Finn, he's like, I'm part of the resistance. And then he's like trying to get the droid to be like, yeah, he totally is. Yeah, he is for sure. And he's like, hey, we need to know that location. I don't remember. They're doing something. And he goes like, he gets the droid to do something, and he gives the droid the thumbs up while Rey's back is turned. And he fucking, the BB-8 sticks out like a little probe arm thing and lights up a lighter straight up, like a little butane lighter. Just poof. So he imitated a thumbs up out of being a goddamn droid. It was fucking amazing. It killed me. It goddamn killed me.
Man,
it was, great. You know who else I really loved in this movie? More than before.
Chewbacca.
Goddamn Chewbacca.
For real.
Oh, he was great.
That motherfucker is so goddamn funny in this movie.
Yeah.
He was like the C-3PO of this movie.
Bro, he's like getting fixed up, and he's like, he's already bit me like 5 times.
Yeah. And then one of my favorite parts, they're on the snowy planet thing, whatever that, you know. I guess I'm trying not to
call
spoil
it the things, Death Star.
Again, we're spoiling Starkiller. We're on Starkiller.
This is all spoilers, by the way. If you if you're listening now, you know what to expect. We're spoiling the shit out of this movie.
No, I don't think
so.
They're
on Starkiller, and he's with Han, and Han's like in his goddamn Hoth gear again, right? Like, he's got like the big jacket with, and it's snowing and windy and blah blah blah, and like Chewie just goes like, wah, and Han turns to him and goes, "You're cold," like. You're covered in fur. Like, you're cold. So funny. And stuff like that happens the whole time.
Yeah, my favorite Chewie moment is when John Boyega kind of like leans over on the chessboard and it turns on. And even though Chewbacca is hurt, he still looks over like he wants to play. He's like,
yeah, exactly. Huh? What's that?
You want to go? You want to go?
You can do a round.
That's a great
chance of me ripping your arms off if you win.
And that's a wonderful. What's a wonderful callback? And like we said about in the story, the callbacks to the previous films were so subtle, but still like upfront. But they didn't linger, so it wasn't like just throwing it at you and making you feel nostalgic. It just gave you small doses in a way that made you really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was really cool of it. But I want to say, before we move on, I think, like, when I first saw Kylo Ren, I was like, this guy's a bad motherfucker. And then when he took his helmet off, I was like, is he a bad motherfucker? And then the way he articulates everything, and his anger and his rage, the way that he fucking just, like, acted like a goddamn 10-year-old that just got his toy taken away when he's, like, fucking the whole room up with his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And I that motherfucker is gonna be so vicious later on. Like, in
you
the
know,
holy
you know,
shit.
You know who he would have, I mean, you know who, oh my god, how to word this? He is the Anakin Skywalker we deserve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That motherfucker, like 10, 15 years ago, would have played the best Anakin Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And it's great for this new movie because, I mean, like, yeah, the whole that whole story is nuts. But, like, I mean, fuck Hayden Christensen. Fuck him. Fuck him. This guy. With that anger and grief just and all those things that he's feeling and the internal conflict between the good and evil that you see in this movie is exactly what we needed in episode 3, right? I mean, like, episode 3 is still probably one of my favorites overall, still, because I love the dark ending and I love seeing him turn into Vader, like, all of it. I love that the good guys lose, like, and they lose hard. But that... him as Anakin would have been so much better. That just from this movie alone would have been so much better, right?
Kev, I know what you were going to bring up, and that fucking part where the two stormtroopers and the fucking thing comes flying out of the room, and the two stormtroopers like, nope, fuck that.
Just turn around and walk the other way.
Yep, no. The humor in this movie was fucking phenomenal, too. It was so, it was like subtle, and then sometimes just straight up not. Like the thumbs up.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
It was definitely a lot more humor in this than any other Star Wars I've seen.
Han Solo was like,
Watch it again. It's going to be put in a comedy category in award season.
Oh, seriously.
What'd you guys think of the action of the film?
Oh,
so good.
Unbelievable, man. And it was cool because, like, I remember seeing episode 1 in theaters and it was overwhelming, but it was like bad overwhelming. Like, there was shit that was going on that was just, like, it's hard to keep up. This one, it was, like, overwhelming but good because there was so much going on, but it looked beautiful and you can actually track everything.
Did you notice that any scene, and I read this in an interview, the way J.J. Abrams shot all of the space and air combat scenes, that he wanted a perspective of what it looks like from the ground, so he shot a lot of it from a perspective of looking up at the battle.
Yeah, that was awesome. Because, I mean, you figure, I mean, if you're going to watch it, you're going to be on the ground. It was a lot more realistic approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was so good.
I think you bring up episode 1 and how there's so much happening. You know, it's because I think they tried to do too much in that movie. Where at the Battle of Naboo, you're following the Gungans in their obnoxious battle against the droids. But then you're also following Amidala as she breaks into the palace. But then you're also following Qui-Gon Jinn while they're fighting Darth Maul, while you're also following fucking Anakin flying up into space.
Yeah, there's like pod five. Well, don't forget the pod racer too.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate scene. That's the end. That's the Battle of Naboo. That's four fucking fights happening at one time.
And this was just a singular story, just a singular thing, which is awesome. And I didn't get a reaction from you guys on text message when I said this, but I don't know how you feel. I did not like the prequels with as many lightsaber battles as there were. I didn't feel like it felt forced, like, oh, this will sell some toys and shit because everyone's got a lightsaber and this is fun. I really loved that they brought it back to where a lightsaber was mysterious and they only had one giant battle, like one lightsaber fight. There was a few lightsaber scenes, but there's only one big lightsaber fight, and I really loved that. It really brought the intenseness up for me, and then it made it even that more special when I actually saw them light up and go, "Oh, it's fucking on!"
Yeah. Well, and especially but I just want to say it's cool because like they tried to do a lightsaber battle in the middle of the movie. And it was Finn and a stormtrooper. The stormtrooper had this really weird, like, makeshift battering ram type thing. But I like how they ended with, like, basically just Solo shooting the dude with the
bowcaster.
Bowcaster, yeah. So it was kind of like, I thought it was a throwback to Indiana Jones, where the guy's doing all the sword play. And Harrison Ford just pulls out his gun and shoots him.
That's a good call. I didn't even think about that. That's like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
This, oh my gosh.
What'd you think, Doug? Did you want more out of the lightsabers?
No, I the amount that they had in this movie was perfect for obviously the story that they're telling. And I guess that's that's where I'm gonna differ from you, is that episode 1, they do use their lightsabers a lot, but it is the weapon of the Jedi. You've got two Jedi running around.
Right, obviously
they're gonna use them more often. But there was really only one big lightsaber battle in that one, and it's probably one of the coolest ones in the series, right? Like Darth Maul in Qui-Gon.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cool one too. But I really loved...
in episode two, you do kind of lose it a little bit because then it's the Clone Wars, right? So that's where it gets crazy because it's like 50 Jedi in that arena versus like a fucking army. And it's nuts. It's crazy. Three has, I think, one of the most spectacularly like choreographed lightsaber battles of Obi-Wan versus Anakin. Like holy shit, there's a part in there where they're swinging so fast neither of them are hitting each other or their blades. They're just swinging and their lightsabers are going around each other so quickly that no one is making contact. It's insane. And I don't know, there's a part of them that they brought over to this movie where they just look better than the original trilogy.
They graphics, look better, right? Yeah.
I kind of think they figured out how these blades actually look and work, because in the first movie there's a part where Obi-Wan turns his blade and it disappears because it's supposed to be like a blade.
Yeah.
And now they're just like it's just a fucking beam of light. Yeah, you can see it wherever the fuck it is. And I like that because it, you know, I always thought when I was a kid, his lightsaber would be like, you know, it disappear. And I was like, is it dying? Is it running out of batteries? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. I liked the rawness of the fight. I really liked how, you know, it was two people. Obviously, one had more experience, but his was just like a rage filled swing, and hers was just like this inexperienced but defensive, just uncut. Like, it was one of my favorite lightsaber battles that I've seen in a Star Wars film. It ranks up there.
What I liked about it also is that, like, because it was in the woods. Like, to see some more of the destruction.
Because
sometimes, you know, they hit a wall, and, oh, there's a cut in the wall. That's cool. But this is like, they were hacking down fucking trees.
Yeah, trees are falling around each other, getting split in half and shit. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. So, all right. Let's move on to, what'd you guys think of the overall story arc? Did you enjoy the story that was told? And which is, Luke has gone missing. They're on a mission. Everyone is trying to find him. The First Order is trying to find him to destroy him because he's the last of the Jedi. And, of course, the Resistance is trying to find him to save the galaxy. And so they're set off on a mission. What do you guys think of the overall story?
I liked a lot of it. And I think it does... I think we should say that, like, the Republic, there is a Republic. The Republic has been built after episode whatever, six. Mm-hmm. They were able to establish, and that was one of the things I was worried about. It was like, okay, it's been 30 years and we still don't have a goddamn fucking government. Like, come on, guys. Like, seriously?
So the Republic
destroy the Emperor and you still don't got anything. Yeah. But in this opening crawl, it says, like, the Republic there, they have begun they started a group called the Resistance to fight the First Order. So, like, the Resistance is like, kind of just, a group of people fighting the First Order, because I guess the Republic's like, the Republic, in my opinion, based on what they said in the movie and all this stuff, is that the Republic kind of doesn't give a shit about the First Order. Like, they're not worried about them. So they send the Resistance to do it, because remember, they're like, oh, we got to take out the Republic. We take out the Republic. They can't come back. They're boys.
Right.
You know, like, we got to take them out. That way they can't come help them. Because that means, like, the Resistance is like, hey, guys, we need help. And then they send in, like, a fucking squadron to take them out.
Yeah.
So I did like that. I have issues with the story only in that some of it was a little too, I don't want to say redundant, repetitive. But, you know, like, we did this giant space station.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and we talked about this before when we first heard about it.
And they went through those plans real fucking fast. they were like, all right, there's got to be a way to blow it up. There's always a way to blow this thing up, right?
I did like that. But yeah, and then it's like, and then it was just like, oh, cool. Look, that right there, we get rid of that. We can blow up the whole thing.
And it's like, then it pretty much showed exactly the same graphics from episode 3, where it's like, oh, look, it goes down into the center of the core. It's just like, it'll start a chain reaction. We've done this before.
I did kind of like that, because I guess maybe there's a part of them that was like, you know, where Rey is like this, you know, oh, blah, 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 these fairy tales and myths and rumors or whatever, all the stuff that happened. And then, you know, oh, it's real. Oh, all of it. You know, like, so maybe there's
a part of
the First Order that's also like, oh, that's not what happened.
Yeah, like, there's no way that would happen.
Don't worry about it.
But there is.
Now, to be fair, it wasn't just a goddamn exhaust port, right? I mean, it was like.
It was a giant fucking.
It was huge. It was very well guarded, and they had a lot of forces, and they should have been able to stop them, but they did not count.
It was cool.
Goddamn fighter pilot, right? Poe Dameron.
And it was pretty cool to see Trench Run 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It looked great. It made me go in that way that, like, parts of the original, the new trilogy made me feel about the old world. Like, they should go back and update some of this stuff.
They should.
Like, don't let Lucas do it. Let J.J. Abrams do it. Like, hey, can we just get, a little graphical bump on that Trench Run?
Side note, by the way, too. When you saw Greg Grunberg in there, did you freak out? Greg Grunberg, he was one of the Red Six. He was fucking...
Oh, you on Heroes?
Yeah, Matt Parkman from Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Parkman from Heroes?
As soon as I saw him, I was like, yes! I was like, Matt Parkman.
And then there was another guy, the Asian dude, I'm pretty sure was Masuka from Lost. Dexter.
Well, oh, Lost. No, it wasn't Masuka. It was dude from Lost. He was the one who can talk to those dead people.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. But I was trying to figure it out. I was like, is that the guy from Dexter?
No, he would have been cracking sex jokes.
Yeah, because that dude was in something else. What was he in? Captain America? Was he in Winter Soldier or something? I feel like he was in something recently. I was like, Masuka?
I don't know. But I can't remember the actor's name. But yeah, that dude's awesome. But he was in Lost, and it was like J.J. Abrams has his core group of people. You know, that he'll have in a lot of his movies. And it was
that
cool
makes sense.
See.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And also, too, did you guys hear that Daniel Craig was in it?
Yeah, he was the stormtrooper that they were where she did the Jedi mind trick on.
Yep. That is fantastic. I would think as any kind of star, I would probably do Star Wars for free just to be in you know.
Well, Simon Pegg was the dealer, the junk dealer. In the window.
I don't think he was the junk dealer in the window.
I think he was. Because
he's got a history with J.J. Abrams.
Yeah,
so.
He was there,
but I don't think he was that character specifically. I think that he was someone else, just someone else.
Hold on.
I don't think he had any lines.
Let me look.
Because he was only there for like a day.
He was.
And then also, I don't know if this is true. This was in GQ of all places, but Ben Schwartz from Parks and Rec. You know, what's his name? The guy who started... Yep.
John Ruffio.
Yeah, John Ruffio. He was apparently the... for BB-8, he was the kind of guy to give BB-8 the emotions.
Yeah, and Bill Hader, too.
Yeah. Okay, looks like he
was... It was both of them.
Yeah. They were brought on as, like, BB-8 consultants.
Yeah, voice consultants. Yeah. That was the other night when I was like, hey guys, I have a spoiler, I think, kind of a little bit of someone who's in the movie that makes me more excited about the character. It was those two. And I sent it to Ryan. I was like, Ryan. Because he was like, I don't care, you can tell me.
I'm trying to find it here. But all right, we'll have to go back to that for Simon Pegg. I swear that's what suit he was wearing. But we'll have to go back to that. Okay, so let's move on to the part where everybody's wondering where the fuck Luke is. Why isn't he on the posters or anything like that? And we finally see him with 2 minutes left in the film.
Oh my God. No dialogue. Nothing said. Just standing there. And like this, the only thing that I think that really gives a credence that maybe she's his daughter is just the kind of look that he gives her. Mm-hmm. Where it's just, and maybe it's because he's been alone for a while. Maybe it's because like, holy shit, someone fucking found me. Maybe it's the fact that she's handed him his dad's lightsaber. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he definitely has that look of like, well, I don't know. If you're not watching the stream, you can't see my face. But it's just kind of like,
oh shit.
Oh shit.
How the fuck did you find me?
And then almost a little bit of that, like, is it you sort of thing? Like, oh my, like that could also be like, oh my God, are you, holy shit, you're my daughter sort of thing. I don't know.
It was definitely, but it was still an awesome moment. Like, cause, okay. So Ashley actually picked out something that was pretty funny at the end of the film. So Chewbacca and Rey are getting into the Millennium Falcon about to go find Luke, and mm-hmm. everybody is standing there saying,
good, oh my God.
God. That's what they're saying.
Kill him.
Yeah. So they're looking and they're waving and they're saying goodbye. It's a big epic moment. We see everybody there, and R2-D2 is waving goodbye as well. And then all of a sudden, in the next scene, we see them outside of the ship on an island with Chewbacca and R2-D2.
Yeah.
So that was a major, like, the next time you see this thing, watch for that, because it's like, What? How the fuck did he get on the ship? They're leaving
maybe it wasn't,
the planet.
Maybe it wasn't R2.
It sure does fuck look like him.
He bounced around like R2, especially when he saw Luke.
Yeah. He's...
No. Maybe it wasn't R2 waving goodbye.
There is no way that was R2.
You don't know.
That's what I told. Okay, but here's the thing.
There's more than one R2 unit in the. In fact, in. Oh. No. There was. Okay, there's an R2 unit that was created for the Clone Wars. And it was like KTQT or some shit like that. Like, literally, I shit you not, KTQT. The dumbest name for a robot ever. And it was pink, right? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, some guys built one, like, for reals, for a girl. Who was like a 6-year-old girl who's diagnosed with cancer, and mm-hmm. That's what she loved that character. So like her dad and some of his friends built one. Well, apparently it's in the movie somewhere.
Huh.
Apparently like J.J. Abrams, because it, you know, it was like this national like story of like this droid that they built, blah blah blah. And then, you know, apparently, oh, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. Can we take your daughter's droid and put her in the movie?
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
So they paid and they flew the droid out to like Germany where they were filming, and then like, you know, when they were done, they sent it back to her. But like, so apparently that droid's in there somewhere. I mean, you kind of think you notice it's kind of pink. It's
yeah.
Instead of blue, it's pink. Like instead of the blue, it's pink. I think you might kind of notice.
Maybe it's in the bar scene.
I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I totally forgot that droid was in there. But it was like, you know, I saw the news things about it a while back.
So the ending I think was very fitting, and it was very cool. Were you guys happy with the way that it ended?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it set it up for the trilogy. It's a new trilogy. Mm-hmm. You can't just blow your load in the first, you know, in the first film. So I mean, they set it up. I'm glad that Luke didn't have any lines, because it, like I said, it built up more and more tension. It's just fantastic. I would have hated for him to say like one stupid thing, like a stupid one-liner, and then it ends, you know.
What if he just looked over and he was just like, huh?
and then it ends with the sign yeah. theme. No, I mean, I just think it ended really well, and
I'm just glad he didn't like, pull out a Joker or some shit while he's
yeah.
Like, oh,
yelled cut.
What are you doing here, sweetheart? Like, oh Jesus,
he looks fantastic too as an old Jedi.
It was cock blocker.
Yeah, he comes out with cock blocker. And can I say his robot hand looks fabulous?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it looks like when the skin, I guess, is the fake skin is melted away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you remember, I mean, it's just a normal hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they like replaced it. Like, man, we are too fucking cheap to do something crazy. Just look, just make it look like the fucking Terminator hand, right? Just it's a little piece of skin that you just kind of oh, we close it up. Oh, look, it's a normal hand. Like this one was just like fuck. I guess that skin got fucked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right? Like,
what happened?
Sex so. Accident.
Dude, I'm on the IMDb page. Just want to throw this out. Like, you guys know who Judah Friedlander is? He's a comedian. Yeah. He's on 30 Rock. Okay, he was in this movie too as a bar patron, I guess, at Maz's place. And then also
Maz is awesome, by the way.
Billy Lord, who is Carrie Fisher's daughter, was in this also as Lieutenant Connix. I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Me neither.
I just crazy. I'm just scrolling through just to see like all these people that are in it. Also, hold on, Admiral Akbar.
Oh yep. Yeah, he was in it. That's right.
He didn't say magnitude, that asshole. He said like he almost came to that line. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Okay. We've went through, we've talked about mostly everything. Now it's time to rate it as we do on the 8-Bit Geek. 5 out of, well, I'm about to blow my load early. 5 out of a 5 rating. What do you guys give it? Go around the room.
A 10 out of 5.
Okay. Kevin? Kevin?
I give it a 5 out of 7.
God damn it. I will give it a 5 out of 5.
Did you guys get
5?
That troll thing? It was a Facebook thing where this guy kept...
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
a 7. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 out of 7.
Oh, yeah.
Like, perfect film. 5 out of 7.
I'm like, what? Like, what? And then the dude that was trolling him like would write 5 out of 7 on everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, so that's my new it. That's my new rating. 5 out of 7.
All right, so what do you guys rank it? Let's get your lists going. I went... Okay, so for me, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Return of the Jedi, A New Hope.
Wow.
You're not going to include the originals?
I thought the originals, the one, two, and three. I do not know. I don't include those in anything. I don't rank those. I mean, they're fun. They're fun little films, but I feel like they're not really a part of the Star Wars universe, and I'd rather.
But they are.
But I mean, we talked about this too in text. Like, there's two major moments in the film that really kind of try to fix things from those movies. Like, the first line in the film is, "This is the start." You know, like, I feel like that was a part of something that they were saying, like, to establish, reestablish the fans and stuff. Is like, this is the start to change things. The first line, and then later on when they're talking about the Force, that little character, I forgot her name,
Maz. My dear, we just said it.
Oh, did you really? Okay, my bad. So Maz is sitting there, and they go through this huge explanation about what the Force is again. And, you know, there's no fucking mention of midichlorians and how much Force you have. It's just the Force is around us. It controls our destiny. It is. And, oh, that fucking line where he's like, I don't know, man. Where Finn was like, I don't know, man. We'll figure it out, right? We'll use the Force. And then, Han Solo's like,
That's not how it works.
That's
kid.
Not how the Force works.
Yeah. That's not how it works, kid.
What did you do on the planet? I was a custodian.
What? Sanitation.
Yeah.
Right, anyways, okay, so.
You said you knew how you're going to do this. Well, I said we'd figure it out, man. Oh, my God.
So that's my list. Kev?
Man, I mean, I'm very similar to you, actually. I think, but I would put. Basically, my list goes Empire Strikes Back, Force Awakens, New Hope, and then Return of the Jedi.
Okay. All right. Respectable.
Since I do include the original, I keep saying the original trilogy, the second trilogy, the first one, episodes 1, 2, and 3. It's so confusing. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, I do include those. I go Empire Strikes Back. Whew. Oh, man. That's really hard, actually, because this movie was so fucking good. Like, oh my God, it's hard. It's tough. It's really tough. Empire Strikes Back, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith. Oh shit, he said it. Return of the Jedi.
He's going there.
Episode 2, Episode 1.
All right. Well,
Mike, the reason I love Episode 3, and I'll say it again, I love how dark it gets. Like, how dark. Like, literally, they fucking lose and everybody dies. Love it.
Story-wise, yeah, that's an awesome thing. I just can't get past the cardboard acting and then
which they brought back on the remake of Episode 6.
But anyways, we'd love to hear what our fans think. Rank it, rate it. Let us know what you thought of the film overall on Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff. We won't let this run very much longer here, so how many times are you guys going to go see it? I'm going to see it in the theater at least 2 more times. What about you?
Hoping probably 2 more times. This is going to sound terrible. It's going to be screener season real fucking soon, and they're already talking Best Picture for this movie, so I'm really hoping this ends up on my...
Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome.
Hell yeah.
I at least want to see it one more time, because like I said, once again, you gotta take it in. Oh crap! I just noticed there was a stormtrooper that was played by Michael Giacchino. He is like basically a huge composer. He did the soundtrack for Lost. He did.
Everybody wanted to be in this film.
Yeah.
Well, he's done a lot of stuff with Abrams, so Abrams probably just like, "Hey, bro, you want to be? I can't use you in this movie because, you know, it's goddamn Star Wars. I kind of have to use John Williams, but I can get you a part."
Yeah,
he's FN3181.
Yeah. But they're not really I think they said that he was the one that threw the very beginning, that threw the old dude down in front of Kylo Ren. Like, that's they were like, that's who that was. Huh. There was someone else who they were like, oh, this guy was also in it. He's a friend of like J.J. Abrams or whatever. He's done some stuff with him, and we're not really sure which one he is. Like, he's just somewhere in there, somewhere.
And Warwick Davis was in this?
Of course, man.
There's a lot of people in it. We're not in it, but we will be on the next episode of the 8-Bit Geek on Tuesday. Tune in. Thank you for listening. My name's Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Kevin.
Peace out. Roll some outro music.
Just play that song again. Start.
I don't have it queued.
He's no good to me, Dad.